Let's recovering addict named Walter.
Hi, Walter.
Okay, the speaker. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and 12 traditions. An area where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and the 12 tradition, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that the NA member from other areas are willing to drive long distance to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to addicts who still suffer. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Again, my name is Walter, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Walter.
Staying clean. First and foremost, I want to thank my higher power, you know, for allowing me another day here, another day clean, you know. Billy, I love you, man, you know. I came here to support, you know, Jamie, right? And we came in, and then Billy said he asked me to share, you know. The topic, staying clean, right, is our first priority. For me, right, for many years, okay, I used drugs and drugs used me, you know. I did the detoxes, always with a reservation, you know. I would go in, get clean for a couple of days and say, well, you know, I ain't gonna use dope, I'm gonna drink me a beer. Or I'm gonna just hit one bow of crack, you know, but we know how that goes, okay? One is too many, a thousand's never enough, you know? It was funny because I was talking to my boy Jamie, and I had told him that at the end of my road, right, I was in my grandfather's house, and under the bed, my grandfather had stashed $3,000, right? And he had asked me to help him look for something. And when I glanced under the bed, I seen the knot with the rubber band, you know. And the grimy addict that I am, and he's standing in the doorway, and I snatched the money real quick, and I had some army pants with the big side pockets, and I put the money right in my pocket, right? Got up, ran into the bathroom, stashed it down my boot. By the time I walked out the front door, my grandmother came behind me, right? And she was talking about, oh, the money's missing under the bed. And I was like, what money? And I come back in to help them look for it, knowing that I have it, right? Took like a week, okay? And I got thrown out the house, right? Because they knew it was me. All right, and I was denying it to the end. They knew it was me. My aunt's husband came in. I remember I weighed 97 pounds soaking wet. All right, crack had brought me to my knees. Okay, and I remember my aunt's husband kicking the door in. Okay, because they had got fed up with me. Right, this joker is like around 6'2, 250 pounds. I'm 97 pounds soaking wet, and I grabbed the 2x4, you know, and was chasing him, okay? Because I was still in that denial piece, you know, saying, no, I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't take the money. How dare you kick me out of the house, okay? And when I got kicked out, remember, I have a half-sister, all right? my father's side. And she came looking for me because she found out that my family had put me out, right? And this is where my process started. It started for me, okay? And I remember when she came and I was outside, and she said, well, we're going to drive over there and get you clothes, but you need to do something. If you're going to live with me, you need to seek some kind of help. I remember going the next day, going to another, you know, program, all right, outpatient program, and I was thoroughly whooped, all right, talking about 97 pounds, you know, wouldn't eat, you know, wouldn't take a shower for a couple of days, okay, and went into this place, man, and I was willing to do anything that these people asked me to do. But let me just bring it back a little bit. When I went into this place with my sister, I knew I had the money. Now, I had given my sister the $3,000 to hold for me, you know. And I remember going to this facility, and I had a $100 bill on me, right? And when we walked in, my first question was, like, at what time is lunch? Still with that reservation. Well, I'm going to go out there and get one more. You know? They said, no, we give you lunch here. I said, well, how about breakfast? I go get breakfast. No, we feed you here. We give you breakfast and lunch. Okay? And my sister was like, let me get that $100 because, you know, you don't need it. They're going to feed you here. You know, and we're going to come and pick you up. From that point on, all right, is when this came into place, staying clean for me. I was willing to do anything that they told me to do. All right. And the blessing is that the person that was my counselor at this place is a recovering addict. Okay, and what he did is he suggested that I make a meeting. Okay, he says, you know, I want you to make a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. He said, just do one. I just want you to do one meeting. And I remember walking into this meeting. I'm from North North originally, you know. I remember he got out the meeting list and he said, just look there to see which one are you familiar with. The first one I seen was Recovery off Summer Avenue. And I said, okay, I know where this place is at, you know? And he said, all right, what time is it? 7:30. I said, okay. And I went to that meeting, right? And I remember standing at the door. I didn't know if I wanted to go in there, because when I opened the door, I seen a whole bunch of people in the front sitting, you know? And I seen some people by the coffee pot. But another recovering addict came to me and he embraced me, you know. He embraced me and he said, get a cup of coffee and have a seat in the front, you know. I sat there. I didn't really know what was going on, right? I see people just sitting there and hugging each other, you know, and sharing. And, you know, I didn't know. But something about it that I felt comfortable, you know, because I had seen a couple of faces that I had ran with, and they were sitting there, right? So I go back the next day, okay, and I said, well, you know what? I want to make another meeting. So get the meeting list, and I start writing, looking at the days and where to go to, you know. I remember kicking methadone, going to the meetings. I didn't sleep for 97 days. Going to this facility in the morning. This facility opened at 8 o'clock. I was there at 6:45, standing outside the door for them to open. You know, because my desire to stay clean was stronger than my desire to use. I didn't want to use no more. I was sick and tired of using. All right? I had isolated myself from everyone. Going back to when I talk about 97 pounds, man, soaking wet. Down where I live at, right, because it got to a point where I didn't want to share my drugs with no one, okay? And there's a park area where I live at, okay? Now imagine a grown man, all right? I have found, I was walking through it because I used to smoke crack wherever, you know? So I'm walking through the park, man, and I seen a tree trunk, and it had a hole. And I said, if my head fits in that hole, I can go in there. I smoked crack for 3 years inside that tree. The insanity. I isolated myself from everyone. I had the water, the stem, the baking soda. Everything was in there. I had cleaned it out. That's where I smoked crack in there. Okay? That's where the disease of addiction took me. You know? By getting clean, by going to this facility, by making meetings, all right? I had lived with my sister. I was staying at my sister's house. I remember, okay, the same area where my sister lived, that's where I got high at. That's where I used that, in that area, you know. And I remember that she had me sleeping in the basement of her house, okay, next to the boiler. She had a little fold-out couch. Next to the boiler, I would sleep with the two pit bulls. So I had to smell the shit and the piss of the pit bulls, right? Because they didn't truly believe that I could stay clean. But like I said, I was sick and tired. I was sick and tired. You know, and there was times, man, and I have to say this, man, that God placed some beautiful people in my life, you know? Billy, for instance, Jamie, my man, I love him to death, man, okay? That man, I jumped, when they say that you jump in somebody's back pocket, that man right there, okay? And I remember, man, just, I used to come out of that facility, go home, take a shower, all right, and walk to a meeting. Because the same way that I would walk to get my drugs, that's how I do to stay clean one day at a time. You know, I didn't care. I didn't need nobody to pick me up. All right. Like I said, I was willing to do anything to stay clean, okay? And I remember sleeping in that basement, and I remember, all right, saying to myself, you know, I got clean for what? I'm still in the basement, right, sleeping with the dogs, okay, smelling the shit and the piss. Why? I used to ask myself why, but I was tired, and I used to call him, talk to Jamie. I had, you know, I remember that in the meetings they say, avoid people, places, and things. Get a sponsor, okay? Get a home group, you know? Get a network. Build a foundation, okay? I did that, you know, and I'm standing here today, man, by God's grace and mercy, man, I'm standing here today, you know, but we only have just for today, you know, and I'm here, man, clean, okay? They told me to get in the middle of Narcotics Anonymous. Get involved, Walter, you know? Remember going to the meeting. I took up the coffee commitment. I would stay for the business meeting, right? Took the coffee commitment, all right? Going every day, you know, every Sunday at my own group. 7 o'clock, I was there, getting ready to make the coffee, you know? I got involved. I'm a secretary at another group. I took the alternate GSR. I'm the GSR for my home group, okay? I'm the vice chair for original area activities. You know, I surround myself by people that are working this program. Okay? Because I don't want to go back out there to Branch Brook Park and find another tree and isolate myself. Because if I use, I'm small framed anyway. So if I use, forget about it. That's it. You know? The blessings that I've seen so far. All right? You know, one thing that I prayed about was to have a relationship with my daughter, my granddaughter, and I have that today. Okay? I have that, you know? I have a daughter that uses. But see, I have to, you know, attraction rather than promotion. I have to keep this, keep going, keep doing this footwork so she can see, you know, that an addict like me can stay clean one day at a time. That one day I can see her walking through the doors of a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and say, I surrender. That's it. You know? I love this process. I love this. I wouldn't give this up for nothing in the world. You know? I'm going on to 2 years clean. You know? And like I said, man, I surround myself by recovering addicts. I stay involved. I stay in the middle of this, you know. That's all I have.
Now we have Jamie for you.
Jamie, I'm a recovering addict. We need to thank God, first and most, and thank the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous for saving my life. This program is truly awesome. This program truly works. Thank God for sponsorship. Thank God for the rooms, man. Like you know, like when I first got here, like I ventured off into this place. It was called Narcotics Anonymous. I didn't know nothing about it. I used drugs for a long period of time, and I never heard of no Narcotics Anonymous. I heard about methadone clinics, how to do my own little prescriptions and shit. I always heard about that stuff, but I never heard of Narcotics Anonymous. And we have to hit a real bottom, and I think it's a spiritual bottom that we have to hit before we're able to really work this program. Because this program is truly, truly awesome. Like, I had a spiritual bottom. I had to stay here and really find out that that was my bottom. You know, I came in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous behind a relationship, wanting to get a relationship back that, you know, I come from, that's my sponsor. I love him to death, right? And I come from women always throwing my ass out. You know, I never paid bills. I lived with women that took care of me. And then I got to this place and they told me staying clean must come first. It must come first. In spite of the new cars, the new houses, the new whatever, it has to come first. That's our first priority. You know, that's my first priority. I need to, like, stay clean no matter what. You know, so I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous with a lot of issues and a lot of stuff that I didn't know how to address, and I didn't know how to open up to another human being and share some stuff. And, like, I came in here just like Walter, kicking meth, and a heroin, you know, habit, a cocaine habit, and it took me a long time to get some sleep. But it was some kind of miracle that was happening in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous that kept me coming back. In spite of what I thought, you know, because I come from low self-esteem. I come from that period where you have to approve of me for all of me to be your friend. You know, I come from that. But something was happening and I just kept coming back. You know, I remember I didn't sit in the front. And when I got here, I didn't raise my hand. And I just came. You know, I just came to the meeting. I used to stand in the back. I had a leather coat, right? Not the little one, right? I had a nice leather coat. It was real heavy. I was kicking meth, right? And I used to stand in the back with the coat on my arm because it was too heavy for my back. And I just kept coming. Man, and something was happening, you know, without even my participation. I know you just got to be at the meeting, and this will save your life. You got to be at the meeting. So when I came, they told me, look, man, you got to get a sponsor. You got to buy some literature. You got to, you know, you got to change some stuff about you. And I would, you know, ask a question, like, real politely, you know, like, what you mean change things about me? You got to change everything about you. You know, because it's a new way of living that I didn't know nothing of it. So, like, when I got here, I had a beautiful young lady with it, just had a daughter, and I remember ODing. She didn't know nothing about drugs, and I remember ODing in front of her. And just, like, you know, because I've been through the ODs and all that other shit, and I remember ODing in front of her and she not knowing what to do. And I remember, because that night I had a ball, I had some money that night. And my heart was about to come out of my chest. And I remember just telling her, call 911. And she used to tell me shit like, I'm leaving you. I can't take it no more. And I used to say shit like, get the fuck out of here. The door is right there. You see, but there was some stuff that was happening that I didn't know, that I didn't participate in. I didn't pay the rent. She did. I didn't wash the clothes. She did. So when she left, you know, I wanted her back. Bad. Right? I wanted her back. So thank God he sent me an angel. He sent me a friend of mine that used just like me for a long period of time. And he was my neighbor. But he wouldn't fuck with me. He wouldn't fuck with me. He had multiple years clean. He was doing his thing. And that night, he knocked on my door. And I remember I was sitting on the bed crying. And when I heard the knock, I had to wipe the tears off my face because I didn't want to see him cry. I know what the day is all right for me to cry because I relieve pain and the suffering that I was having. So when I wiped the tears, he knocked on the door and he asked me, was I ready? And he was working in the treatment center, and he said, are you ready? And I'm like, ready for what? He said, are you ready? Are you tired? And at that point, I was willing to try anything. And I remember he put me in a detox. He put me in the program. I didn't stay in the program. I went to the program, and the lady, the counselor, was asking me some stuff, and you know, and I was all like, you know, I didn't even detox yet. But she was asking me some questions about, you know, because I was always in denial of how much I love my daughters and how much I take care of my home. And I ain't never do none of that shit. I ain't never take care of my daughters. I never paid no rent. Narcotics Anonymous showed me that shit. You ain't do none of that. All that shit, it was just a delusion to you. That's the shit you thought you was doing. So she started asking me some questions like, you telling me, sir, she said, if you leave this place, you coming back. You coming back. But I remember H and I coming and giving the message up in the detox and saying, look, man, if you get out of here, make a meeting. If you don't do nothing else, make a meeting. And I remember her breaking some stuff down to me, like, you love your daughter so much, you say this and that about your kid. And like she drilling me. And I'm already angry because I can't use drugs. So she's drilling me about, if you got enough money for one pair of shoes and your daughter ain't got none and you got none, but she ain't even finished, I already know the answer. You know how we come in, we know every motherfucking thing. So when the guy, I said, I know, I buy for her. And she said, no, sir, you got to buy for you first. You got to get a job. And then maybe you could buy her some shoes. But I remember, like, leaving that facility and saying, you know, one thing she said to me, she said, I'll see you back. You go ahead, go out the door, I'll see you back. And thank God for her. Because I ain't been back to that motherfucker since. I found the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And they say staying clean must come first. One of the other things I found out here, you got to take care of you first before you able to take care of anybody. So if you come up in here with that illusion, I want my family, I want this, I want you in a world of fucking confusion. So I found out that I needed to take care of me. In the process, I had the opportunity to get my wife back. It didn't matter if she came back or not, because I found myself. I got myself back. And I also found out that I needed to take care of me before I can make amends to my children or my parents, because I had one of my old type Puerto Rican fathers that I struggled when I got here. Because he used to tell my mother shit like, put that motherfucker out. Fuck all that, put his ass out. But moms didn't want to put me out. Mom said, I'll put you down in the basement. I'll feed you. Don't you come upstairs. I'm going to lock the doors. You just stay down in the basement. And stuff started happening. Like, I got a sponsor. You know, I love him. I love my sponsor. Same sponsor I had since I got here. I ain't find a reason to leave him yet. You know, we have a connection that we, you know, I know he's just a recovering addict just like me. I understand that today. That we go through shit in here and we need each other. And we need to be careful, you know, of how we carry the message. Right? Because there's some stuff going on now in Narcotics Anonymous. That is crazy. It's crazy. But our message is still the same. The promise is freedom. You know, from active addiction. All that other shit will come and go. You know, people will come in your life, leave your life. You know, I remember I don't get in a relationship for a year. Because you don't know who the fuck you are. And yeah, I didn't take that suggestion. I got in the relationship. And the relationship been rocky for years. Last couple of years, it's been great. It's been great. She's been doing work. She's a recovering addict. I've been doing work with. And I met Walter, right? Because Walter was new. I love him to death, right? I met Walter. Walter was new. I was in my relationship problem. And I took his ass as a hostage. And he was so happy to be here. Because he came in like me. He was ready to roll. All right, Jamie, let's just do this. And in the process, you know, I almost used. After having 5 years and some change, I almost used. And I remember, so I know the relationships is a real painful area, right? And I ain't going to stay on it too long, but this is part of my story. It's a real, real painful area. And I remember going up Bloomfield Avenue, and I was heading home because God had blessed me, man. I lived by myself. I got my own apartment since I've been in recovery. I pay rent. I pay my bills. I got 3 phones and some crazy shit, right? But I take care of business today. Stuff I ain't never do, only through y'all, right? So as I came and and I was going up Bluefield, I was in that pain. Huh? I was in that, like I was at the meeting, I was cool. I was around people, I was safe. But when I got back with me and my low self-esteem, and I didn't think that I was worthy of the stuff that Narcotics Anonymous gave me, I almost went back into like, using. You know, give me water. I almost went back into using. I was like going home and something said, man, get a bag of dope. Said, get a bag of dope. You know, them jokers are still at the same spot. And I remember one thing, right? I remember that I was coming down, and I said, damn. I said, if I use, I'm going to let a whole lot of people down that love me. That love me. That moment of clarity just came right in. I said, damn, you know, my sponsor, he done put some work in me. I got people that love me unconditionally. If I go use, I'm going to let them down. And something said my ego, because my low self-esteem ain't in the basement no fucking more. And I just said, nah, I ain't going to use. I went home. I went home and I got through that day. Because relapse is not a requirement. It's a reality. It happens, but it's not a requirement. You know? And with the relapse comes a whole lot of fucking pain. You see, that good living I just talked about, all that'll change in a heartbeat. You know? All that'll change in a heartbeat. And I know that. So I make meetings. Look, I make meetings. I love to make meetings. I ain't got a problem. You say, let's go to meeting. It's in West Bubble Flop. You know how to get there? Let's go. Because I need to make meetings. Meetings must come first. You know? If I don't make meetings, I start feeding myself my own shit. And I start believing it. Huh? I don't make no meetings. I don't need to be around them motherfuckers. I don't need them. And that's just my disease creeping in on my ass, Tommy. You really don't need them. We all right. No, I need them. I need people in my life. I need healthy people in my life. You know, when I go visit my mother, my mother loves to see me today. And my father. The one that said, put his ass out. Fuck that. Put him out. My father calls me, huh? Calls me and say, look, man, I cook. You need to come down and eat. And the relationship, you know. And this ain't my biological father. My stepfather. Raised me up from a pup, right? And I always used to say shit like, yeah, my father, fuck that. Only through this program that I embraced him and said, my father. Right? Because I remember he used to come and get me out of jail and pay his money. And never said, look, you got to give me that money back. Didn't give a fuck if you paid me or you didn't. He just was showing up. And I didn't know how to appreciate that because I was an active addiction. I thought you owed me that because you sleep with mine. Huh? You sleep with my mother. You owe me that. You owe me shit. And I remember my father said to me, he said, look, man, I need to go to Home Depot. Would you go with me? And I went to Home Depot. And, my father always used to introduce me like this. That's my wife, son. That means I ain't got shit to do with him. All right? That's my wife, son. And that's the way he used to introduce me to people. And I remember I took him to Home Depot, and he saw a friend of his that he haven't seen in a while, and he shook his hand, and he said, I want you to meet my son. Now, you know, he said, I want you to meet my son. And I was in this program called Narcotics Anonymous that helped me be loving and caring, and I almost started crying. Mm-hmm. Huh? And I turned around real quick and started looking at the other shit. I ain't want them to see me crying. But that was a moment that I'll never forget. And when he went into his heart surgery thing that he had to do, he said, look, I need you to call Janie. He ain't call his own biological kids. He said, I need you to call Jamie because I have to run some stuff down to him. Don't tell me this program don't work. Don't tell me this program don't change lives, because it does, man. This program is about saving lives. All that other shit, fuck all that. This is about saving. This program saved my life. I love this program. Now, there's some stuff that we do in here, man, that, look, man, it's not loving and caring at all. You know what I mean? I don't walk on water. Don't get it fucked up. I have some faults and I have some things, and I ain't spiritual every fucking day. Some days I'll fall off, but thank God I stay clean. It must come first. And I see like how we take advantage of each other up in this piece. You know, and sometimes, you know, you might chase a motherfucker out of here and never come back. And his story might be such and such died. So we really need to be loving and caring to each other. You know, sometimes I have a resentment with a certain individual or something, but it's something about the meeting, man. It's something about these meetings, man. When we get in here, it's something that happens, man, that I put that shit aside sometimes. Especially when he shared that he in some pain and stuff, I need to hug him and let him know that, look, this is going to be all right. Because I remember I used to share by the motherfucker that I didn't like. And when shit hit the fan, he was the first one to come to me, hug me and say, look, you need to call me. I've been through that shit. The one that I thought would never help me. So I know this program works. You know? But I know also one thing. I got to stay clean. If I don't stay clean, then I ain't got a shot at this again. Because I loved getting high. I just didn't like when I ran out of money. You know, that's the only thing I didn't like. If I look, like me and my sponsors, we talk sometimes, and I love the hits, right? I came from that area where we took pills. Mouth be all shitted up and white. And I loved that shit. One day we just said, man, if hits was out, would you be clean? And we looked at each other and let's keep the conversation going. Huh? But we got to be careful because that might be a reservation. Huh? All of a sudden, hits us back out. They $2 again. Disease say, what? But I don't know. I live too good today. Look, I don't get put out in January no more. When it's cold. You know, I be with my girl, man. We be like almost 10 years into it. Then it's cold as hell. And all of a sudden, she tired. You got to go. Now, you know you got to go. Because the police is coming. Right? So I'm in there, and I'm like, baby, you know, maybe we need to warm up a little bit. I'll try to change a little bit. she said, you got to go. Today, I live in my own place. Only through this program. You know, like, stuff started happening. I never paid no bills. I never did none of that shit. I came into recovery 40 years old. Oh, you talking about a grown-ass man not knowing that he's grown. Huh? A grown-ass man not knowing that he's grown. So at 40 years old, I got here, you had to teach me that I needed to pay rent, how to put money aside, how to open up a bank account. Huh? That might sound crazy to some of y'all, but that's my fucking story. You know, I had to learn all that stuff when I got here. Damn, I remember I paid rent. I said, Smiles, I paid rent. Last month, I was happy as hell. I never did it, never done it. And next month came. Yeah. You got to pay it again, motherfucker. Yeah. Huh? So I start growing in my own process, right? Look, I'll tell you, I live real nice today, right? Now I struggle with bullshit, right? I struggle with shit like, I want to buy a 57-inch flat screen TV. Got the money to buy it. I walk by that motherfucker and I should get it now. Do I need it? I got two TVs in the house now. One I don't even watch. Huh? So I walk by shit like, yeah, I'm gonna get that. Now I walk by that motherfucker, I ain't even gonna look at that motherfucker. That's the shit I struggle with now. But it was only by coming here and staying clean. I stay away from people, places, and things. That don't mean when I go down my old neighborhood, that don't mean when I see them brothers that's hanging around, and on that day, they might want some help, and they high, and they say, Jamie, man, you should take me to a meeting. And I say, get in. Look, I don't give a fuck about the clean time I got. I don't give a fuck of how you judge me because I'm bringing somebody high to the meeting. That might be his awakening. That might be his freedom at that moment. Because when we're in that pain, we want that help. But the more I get $10 more, I don't need no help. So I need to be aware for that. They still addicts. I know them. I grew up with them. They see the way I live today. You know, that cat that saved my life, my higher power put him in my life to put me in a detox. We real close today. And now I understand why he used to ride by and blow the horn. I love you and keep going. I understand. Because I used to talk about it. That motherfucking man, he think he better than me now. Huh? But I ain't get the message. Stay away from people, places, and things. I was people. He loved me, but he couldn't fuck with me. So, you know, through this process, man, I love this program. I love the people that God puts in my life. The good ones I try to hold on to. The ones that ain't really healthy for me, I need to let them go. I need to let them go. Just hold on to the healthy ones. And that's what I try to do. And with that, my name is Jamie. That's all I got.